my fire friends. Welcome back to Destination Discourse. I'm your host, Stuart Butler, and I'm joined today with Adam Stoker. And I've got to tell you, Adam Stoker, I've come to regard you as someone I met.
You know what? That may be the nicest thing you've ever said to me, and I do want you to know I have a surprise for you today. I'm not going to share with you what or when, but I have a surprise for you today, Stuart.
Oh, can I guess?
Nope.
I think I know what it might be.
Well, you know what? Just wait for it.
Are we gonna hear something soon? Is that what you're saying?
I don't know.
Maybe you're shrugging.
I don't know. Okay. Could be.
When we haven't pre-planned this, this is gonna be. Oh, I'm on tenterhooks to do a throwback to a previous episode.
Not tender hooks. They are
no,
or
not
tender
tenterhooks.
Hooks. They're tenterhooks.
Tenterhooks. Yeah. That's right. Yep. So, well, Adam, how you been, man? We haven't recorded
I've been good.
In a while.
Yeah, it's been a couple weeks, and I feel at peace. It's been great.
Good. I like peace. You know, talking of peace, talking about Zen, there's a gentleman joining us today that I've never seen him rattled. Like, he's always, like, in control. He's always calm, collected, thoughtful, just really good mind. One of my favorite brains in the industry. He's really just wealth of knowledge and... And he's one of the few DMO folks that's also been an elected official. So welcome back to the show, Jason Hollick. How are you, sir?
That was a lovely introduction. I'm doing well. You don't see me off my even keel because that's just when I turn off the camera and the microphone. So
it's a
carefully
this is game face.
Controlled and curated image.
Well, yeah. Jason, it's very clear that Stuart regards you as more than someone he's met, which I think is really great.
That is good, yeah. Man,
yeah. That's generous. I mean, I do regard you, Adam. So that, I mean, that's something for sure. Jason, tell us about out of the workplace. Jason, are you as calm and cool and collected outside of the workplace as well?
You know, I feel like for some reason just popped into my mind the movie The Mask, Jim Carrey, The Mask. Like,
yeah,
I feel like I've got to put on. We always say in the DMO world, you got to wear like 30 different hats. I feel like I got to put on 30 different masks depending on if I'm in work mode or whatever. So,
yeah,
you know, sometimes I'm calm like this, or other times I'll be like overly energetic because I'm also a cub master for a bunch of kindergartners through fifth graders. So I've got to like try to amp it up. And occasionally I'll put on an actual mask. Once a year, I'll dress up as the Grinch and let the kids throw, Florida snowballs at me, which is just pantyhose filled with flour. So that is different for sure. And then there are other times. Yeah. I mean, it's, you know, depending on the mask,
like,
my energy level and my,
I feel like we got a lot changes. About the insights of how Jason Hollick works right there. That was,
yeah. Well,
that's pretty amazing.
I got to tell you, Jason, I've been looking for movies from my past that I can watch with my kids. And The Mask is one that I forgot about that I totally need to watch with my kids. So it might happen this weekend.
There you go. Yeah.
It's a
pop
good
some
movie.
Popcorn.
Yeah. All the Jim Carrey ones from that era were great, right? So
yeah.
That's really cool. Well, I guess before we get into the topic that you brought us today, Jason, this might be a treat for you and me. It is time, maybe for the first time, for a new jingle, if I'm guessing right. It's time for Stu's News.
Here we go.
Every week, check the vibe out. Stu's News coming with shout out from the UK where the tea's hot. Lightsabers out. Plot twist. What's the new plot? Comic relief with touch of class from the galaxy far yonder. We blast. Hide in the spoilers, but never the fun with a wink and a grin. We're never done.
Hold on. Wait.
It's Stu's News. The story's the truth. Stu's News. May the force be with you.
I think my favorite line is where the tea is hot. That's good.
Yeah. What was that voice? Like, it's just the generic voice.
So the prompt was I wanted a British rapper.
Okay. You got something.
And I don't have enough experience to know how accurate that was.
Wow. I literally might be speechless for the first time ever on this show.
That's exactly what I was going for. So that's perfect.
So in your mind, is this going to stay?
No, this was meant to illustrate how wonderful the original jingle actually is.
So you deliberately tanked it. I get it. Well, the
Yep.
Desties will weigh in, I'm sure. I'd love to hear their opinions. So drop a comment in the episode and tell us what do you think of that monstrosity. It was interesting. I do like the fact that you pulled in Star Wars, the May the Force be with you. You got lightsabers in there. Like I can appreciate that. That was good.
Yeah.
Good effort.
Can I tell you something? And this actually is valuable for anybody that's trying to create music with AI. Udio no longer allows people to download the music they create. So I had to go in the platform to play this, and I had just upgraded my account to make some edits to this one. And I got an alert when I tried to download it saying, "Hey, because we're preparing for the future of music, we're no longer allowing downloads. We'll let you know if that changes." And it did say that they're going to start allowing you to create music with some of the artists that you know. And so I
Oh,
think they may be gearing up to let you use their likeness or something like that. But I immediately canceled my account and got a refund because it's like, if I can't download the music I create, what's the value that you're providing as a platform? And so, yeah. Just a heads
yeah,
up for
that's
anybody
tough.
trying to create music.
There's a workaround for that that I think a lot of folks in our generation would be familiar with. You just use that little 3.5 millimeter jack on one end, plug it in as a microphone on the other.
I wouldn't
Yeah.
recommend people do that for fear of any kind of
Right,
litigation, but it is an
right.
option for folks
Yeah.
if they so choose. Well, great. Well, Stu's news today is a little different. We're actually gonna do a little housekeeping, Adam. If
Yeah.
you want to sort of bring that up, we got a nice review on Apple Podcasts, and we got comment here about one of our episodes. So let's do the review
Well,
first, if you don't mind.
you know what? But before I read those, you were
Yeah.
telling me we've kind of hit a milestone in January of 2026. That's pretty cool. Do you mind sharing that before we get to the review?
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked on a previous episode that December was our number one download month so far. And I got to tell you, Adam, people definitely prefer listening to us than watching us for sure. Like the audio downloads are significantly higher,
A
orders of
lot.
magnitude higher than YouTube. But already in January, and what are we doing right now? It's like January 23rd,
23rd.
26th, 23rd. What are we? I don't even know when we are. 23rd.
It's
We've
Tuesday.
already broken December's number, and we're only 2/3 of the way through the month, you know? So I did hope that that New Year's resolution, you know, a lot of people, we tend to see podcasts pick up in January because people kick in with their New Year's resolutions. But man, something's happened in the last few weeks that we're seeing. Like I was looking at 30-day running total. So the most recent 30 days is 48% above the previous 30 days. It's
Wow.
crazy. Yeah.
Wow. That's
Like who
really
sees
awesome.
38% growth in 1 month? So that's a big shout out and a thank you to the Desties out there. They're actually listening finally. They're leaving reviews finally. I'm going to give you a little lecture. Uncle Stewie is going to give you guys a little lecture. We would like more reviews. We would like more shares. But most importantly, tell your team to listen to this show. It's where they're going to get the best and the brightest minds and Adam and Stewart talking about some of the coolest things that is going on in this industry. And I really feel like 2026 is a pivotal year for DMOs. There's a lot of
Yeah.
changing. The sands are shifting. And so we got to stay educated and up to date.
And the gift you just gave me of Uncle Stewie, I just want you to
Yeah.
know I appreciate it, and I will use it effectively.
Well, good. That's what my nieces call me, Uncle Stewie. It was very cute when they
Nice.
were younger and they couldn't quite say the stir. They would call me Uncle Tooie. So please feel free to use that as well.
I grew up on Family Guy, so I can just picture Stewie,
Stewie, yeah.
the little baby. But anyway, okay, let's get to
I'm
the
almost as offensive and obnoxious as Stewie from Family Guy, for sure.
It's neck and neck. All right. So I'll read a couple of these. So the first one is a couple of weeks ago, we got a 5-star review that says Stewart and Adam are not only fun to listen to, but they offer up valuable insights and ideas. Every podcast sparks an aha moment and provides inspiration. They have fantastic guests and do a great job keeping us updated on trends in our industry. Make this a mandatory listen for your team. That's pretty high praise. Thank you to Travel Guru for that one.
Yeah, I really like that. That was an Apple That was an
I think
Apple
it's,
review, I
yeah, I
think
think
that
it's
was.
Apple.
Okay. And I like when they say aha moments, like in my mind, it means that you've got to start singing aha songs. But I don't know. Is that
Okay.
what they meant when they said aha moments?
It must be. It's got to be.
Yeah. Like Take On Me or something like that. Was that aha? I feel like it was.
That's before my time, Stuart. I'm sorry.
I don't think that's true. That came out, I just Googled it. Yeah, 1985. That is not before your time.
I was two, Stuart. I was two.
Pish posh. It was around longer than that.
Okay. Let's go to in Spotify, a very frequent listener and Destie, Nate Graysock, said, "Such a great episode." And this is, by the way, episode 56. Is this the beginning of the end? What was the rest of that title? Do you remember that, Stuart, off the top of your head?
I think that was Jeanette's episode, right? It was
Yeah.
just the beginning and the end for DMOs.
Yeah, I think you're right. So Nate says, such a great episode, thinking about how we approach destination marketing. Completely agree with Stuart. Similar to how Adam talks about owning your media, we should own the travel decision-making cycle and the decision-making tree within that cycle. Whether it's someone making a travel decision from a website or through an AI bot, we should try to own how travelers book trips. If we own the decision-making cycle, we can also preserve the destination story, hashtag destination. With a
Destiny.
Y,
How
mind
I was
you,
gonna say, how do you spell
with a
it? All
Y.
right. Jason, any initial reaction to what he's saying? You obviously don't know the episode, but we were talking about how AI is disrupting a lot in what is our role in that future, and are we the source of truth? Should we really control what people hear, and do we get further into the funnel of the actual transaction, things like that? So any initial reaction to you on that?
Yeah, you
From
know, I don't know if this is going to add much insight to it, but what immediately came to my mind is the California Gold Rush. And where I'm going with this is like a very small percentage of the people that went out west for the California Gold Rush actually found gold and became rich. It was the people that went out that supplied all the tangential services were the ones that really made the money, right?
yeah,
Like
the pickaxe
shovels.
sellers and stuff. Yeah,
Shovels
shovels,
and
pickaxe, yeah.
inventing Levi's jeans and all that stuff. So, depending on your destination where you are, maybe it's not that gold. Maybe it's not that transaction. Like we're not gonna own the transaction piece. That's not, we're not digging the gold, but maybe we can add value along the way for the traveler. Maybe we can be the ones inventing the jeans or sell them the shovels or whatever else they need, bottles of water, whatever it is. I don't know. But maybe that's where we fit, and we kind of
Yeah.
think about that added value.
Adam, you have a take on it?
I've been struggling with this lately, actually, and I'm really glad Nate left this comment because the question is, how much of the decision-making cycle can you own if you don't own the transaction? And so, I do feel like this is a potential dead-end road that we can spend millions and millions and millions of dollars chasing, only to find that true ownership of the decision-making action and cycle past a certain point isn't possible. And all of that money that we are spending chasing that ownership could have been better spent on inspirational content, messaging, distribution of content. And I'm a little nervous about chasing that rabbit hole. And to what point do we decide whether or not, like, who are we as a DMO? Are we actually in charge of the transaction, or are we in charge of inspiration? And if we're in charge of inspiration, let's not waste millions of dollars trying to get to the control of a transaction that we never will be able to control.
So we just kicked off our new cycle. January, we just had our first board meeting, and this is our first board meeting for Visit Myrtle Beach as a standalone entity from the chamber. We're still affiliated. We're still part of the same 501c6, but we've bifurcated the chamber and the Visit Myrtle Beach, and that's where when I went from CMO to president. And so this is the first time we've actually had a standalone DMO advisory board meeting, and it was really interesting because one of the conversations that we put on the agenda was, what is our role? As a DMO, what is our role? And I think it's fair to say, historically, we've been viewed, and I say we as Visit Myrtle Beach, but I think this extends to a lot of other DMOs, as the marketing team, right? And I'd extend that to sales and stuff, but it's all sort of the fuel that powers the hospitality industry, right? We're putting the fuel into the engine of the hospitality industry, right? That's sort of what I think a lot of folks have seen us. We then went to this sort of place where a lot of people over the last few, several years have said, well, we're the DMMO or the DO or the DSO or the D, da, da, da. And at the beginning of that conversation, I was kind of against it. I felt like that wasn't our role. I felt like it would tread on toes. But the more time I've spent in our community and talking to others, I think there are gaps in every community around tourism. And that is that, and this is a new analogy that we just sort of came up with in this meeting and haven't really stress tested. So I'd like to see your reaction. But no one's the mechanic for that engine, right? If we're the fuel for the engine, right, who's the mechanic, right? Because the engine exists, and that's the amalgamation of all your hospitality partners in your resources and things like that. But who's in there sort of giving it an oil change? Who's in there saying, oh, we need to replace these parts, or we need to add this turbo boost, or we need to do stuff? So the economic development considerations there, the customer experience thing, public safety would be a part of that. So one of the things I've posed to my board, and we're going to question them on, we're actually going to send out a survey to stress test this, is what KPIs actually matter to you guys into our community, and what is our role? And I think it's sort of three. I think it is that demand generation, the fuel side. I equally think it's the increasingly the experience. And we're actually the topic that Jason brought to us today is going to touch on the experience. But then I also think it's destination impact. Like, what is the actual impact of tourism, and how do we communicate that to the stakeholders to avoid anti-tourism and stuff like that? So those are the three pillars I'm thinking about it, but I'm really thinking about it through this metaphor of, I've talked before in the show about the operating system, and I don't think that's right, but maybe the mechanic is a truer version of that. So I don't know. Any initial reaction, Jason, on that?
Yeah, I think it's, I mean, I'm always down for like an analogy or visualization or metaphor, anything like that that helps paint a picture in somebody's mind. So I think you're onto something, and it's similar to how we approached our 3-year strategic plan, three different primary strategic objectives or pillars. We could do another show on that in the future if we want to,
We'd love
but
to.
we, contractually with Osceola County, we have to focus on driving visitation. So that's kind of a primary strategic objective, but we realize we can't really do that effectively without brand awareness, because there's no other entity that's going to brand and maintain a brand for Kissimmee, for Osceola County. And then third, similar to your mechanic analogy, is stewardship. And it's up to us, because we're the only ones that can really brand the destination. It's up to us to help maintain that brand and either join tables that exist that can impact economic development or visitor experience, or create those tables and invite others to it. So I think you're onto something with that. And that's how it seems to be working well for us in Osceola County. And it could be something that works well for you, or like we always say, every destination is a little bit different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I kind of want to take the
Adam?
other side of this. I feel like this engine analogy could become another never-ending quest, because there are so many different pieces to the engine. There's so many different factors that if the destination truly is going to attempt to be the mechanic, I think it's a very difficult road to tread. And so instead, and it may even be right. So I'm not saying it's wrong. I'm saying for the industry as a whole to try to embrace it, I think that's going to be a very difficult thought process. However, I'm in an attempt to simplify what is our job, I think everything rolls up to get as much attention as possible and build trust. Trust between the community and the tourism industry, trust between the visitor and the experience they're going to have. Trust between the board and the DMO. Like, it really is just as simple as the DMO's job is to maximize attention and leverage that attention to the ultimate degree to build trust between all the different parties who touch the tourism economy. And if you can do that, you're going to be successful. And trying to and Stuart, I'm definitely not trying to like minimize your thought process here, because I agree with the principles of what you're saying. I worry about the industry as a whole chasing it, because I think it's going to get very complicated in a lot of destinations, and I think there's going to be a lot of side quests that end in dead end roads. And so I think just the simple nature of what we do as destinations is get as much attention as possible and build trust as soon as we get it to all
So,
parties involved.
couple of things. So, one, I think you overestimate my voice in this show's impact, right? I don't think anyone's about to say, yeah, we're all going to rally behind this metaphor. But what's missing from what you're saying, I agree with you. Trust is is a necessary ingredient if we're going to be successful, right? We've talked a lot on the show about how Visit Myrtle Beach is embracing this concept of radical collaboration across our entire community. We're working on a community-wide strategy led by our partnership Grand Strand, which is our foundation organization, that we're not leading. We're just convening the community around that, right? So I think trust is important. What's missing from what you're saying, if the mandate is to essentially promote and collaborate, is what you're saying, like build that trust internally, where's the vision coming from? Where's the actual plotting of the map coming from, right? If we're going to do a car analogy, who's responsible for the GPS at that point, or even the destination? So I think there isn't someone. We've looked around in Myrtle Beach, right? We have economic development group, but they're focused on non-tourism industries primarily. They're manufacturing and technology and stuff like that. There's no one saying, hey, it would be great to have a sphere in Myrtle Beach. You know, let's go talk to the folks that built the one in Las Vegas and see if they could bring here. Or no one's saying, hey, we need this kind of hotel product. Who's going to go out and talk to
So
those
economic
folks? You know?
development isn't chasing that.
No, because and a lot of times it's more, it's not specialized, right? Like that. Like for us, our economic development group is focused on diversification of the economy. It's not focused on hospitality, you know? And a city individually will reply to inquiries coming in, but no one's sitting down as a community and saying, hey, what's the next 20, 30, 40 years of tourism look like? What do we want tourism in Myrtle Beach to be in 20 years? No one's really the lead or the convener on that. And so I think that has to be the DMO. Has to be.
I think that's fair. I also think that we need a new incentive structure to incentivize DMO leaders to think that way then, because we're incentivized on how do we perform this year, which disincentivizes everyone to look forward. And so, yeah, I love it. I love the idea of it. I'd love to see the
Yeah.
incentives change accordingly.
Well, maybe we get Nate on the show to talk more about this question so we can actually flesh this out. And Jason would love to have you back to talk about your strategic plan, especially selfishly, we're embarking on ours now. So I'm going to need smart people like you to come and help coach me on what to do and what not to do along the way. So
I'd be happy to chime in. I can't promise it'll be smart, but we'll do our best.
I believe it will. Just put on your smart mask and you'll be okay.
Yeah.
So let's segue a little bit into the topic that you brought. We're already halfway through the show, and so we probably need to get into the topic, right? But we already sort of touched on it, right? Which is the destination experience. And we want to talk about it initially through a specific lens of water safety. And I know you and Kissimmee are doing a lot of work around water safety. By the time this airs, I think some of your campaigns will be public. They're not as we record, but let's just what when we reached out to you, I'd love to get a little insight into why was this the topic that you thought was the most important or burning that you wanted to talk about on this show?
That's a good question. So I've shared it with some other destinations in Florida, and to my knowledge, no one has kind of embarked on water safety from a DMO perspective, at least not in this way. And there was a lot of interest from other destinations in Florida to kind of see what we're doing, to see if it's something that they could carbon copy. And I know, Florida has lots of water, natural bodies, backyard pools, all that stuff. So there's naturally going to be a lot of interest here, but we're not unique in that. And Myrtle Beach has plenty of coastline. There are others out there. So I thought maybe if we could share a little bit of how we're approaching it, somebody could kind of iterate on that. And if we're all working on this, then we can kind of learn from each other. So I just want to share where we're at. And
Yeah. Can I ask before you jump into the sort of
yeah.
that rabbit hole a little bit, where what was the catalyst?
Yeah.
What how did this come on into your radar, and what was it that led to you creating this initiative?
You know, the topic actually first came up, I want to say probably close to 2 years ago. We started our Kissimmee Cares committee, which is kind of like the philanthropic arm of the organization. And one of the community leaders that sits on the Kissimmee Cares committee suggested maybe we look into something with water safety, because there have been lots of unfortunately drownings in pools because there are so many pools in Florida. And so we kind of sat on it because we didn't see immediately the intersection between that and the visitor economy until more recently, when we were looking into some of the reporting that the Florida Department of Health and other entities makes available publicly. And we saw that, you know, this is something that does impact some visitors, because we have lots of backyard pools in vacation homes, especially in Osceola County, where we've got tens of thousands of units available that are purpose-built for visitors. And they have backyard pools, some of them, or they have resort-style pools that might not have professional supervision and lifeguards. So when we saw that connection, we knew we had to jump on it, because if someone has a negative experience, an unsafe experience in the water, it can impact not only their experience, potentially some lives, and have a ripple effect that we want to prevent painting the destination is somehow unsafe for family vacation. That's our bread
Yeah,
and butter.
because
So,
certainly media covers it, right? Whenever there's an
correct.
unfortunate incident, it's going to
Yeah.
be in the news. So for
So
sure.
instead of allowing that to happen and have those negative consequences, we rallied together and came up with what we hope is going to be an effective solution.
Yeah, and obviously the saving of lives is the number one, two, three, four, five priority, right? But there are also other areas of it. I mean, we already touched on the public perception through media. There's also rising insurance costs and through liability and stuff like that, right? So I
Absolutely.
think there's no question that improving water safety is important, right? So where was the point that you guys decided, okay, this is something we're going to take on? And did you do it alone, or did you bring in other partners to do it?
We had to kind of convene our own task force. So, there is a national framework for water safety. There are statewide frameworks for almost every state for water safety. And then in the state of Florida, there are regional task force, and almost every county has their own task force as well. Osceola County did not have a task force. And so knowing that, and knowing that in our strategic plan, stewardship is one of our strategic objectives, and this kind of presented itself as an opportunity for us to test the waters in convening groups and
It's a good
advancing
pun.
stewardship. We jumped at it, and we set the table, and brought those stakeholders physically into our office: the Department of Health, the local Osceola County Fire Rescue EMS, the Sheriff's Office. I think we had the school district in there. We had a couple of vacation home partners. We even had a hotel partner that wanted to share their insights on it. We had a water park. We had all sorts of interested parties that knew there was something we needed to do to address this before it became a crisis.
And what was the board involvement? Did you share this with the board? Did you have to get buy-in from them?
We let the board know we were working on it, but no, we didn't have to get buy-in from them. We're fortunate in that regard that we're a staff-driven organization, so we've been given a lot of flexibility by the board to pursue opportunities like this. And create those tables when we need to bring in stakeholders and elevate the credibility.
And how do you determine what's the appropriate? And I promise to the Desties listening, we will get into what the campaign is. And just I'm curious about a few of the mechanical things. But how do you determine that the appropriate amount of resources to allocate to this? Like both labor capital, like people's time and money.
That's a tricky question. I don't think there's any like real calculation you can follow. You're talking about potentially saving lives here. So is there really a limit to it? I don't know. For us, it was first we had to decide, we had to bring these people together, these stakeholders together in our task force and see what a potential solution would be that the subject matter experts would jump on and participate in and lend their expertise, that our industry would participate in, and that we could potentially finance through our tourist development tax or our occupancy tax, because we have very limited allowable uses for that. And so if we're going to put money behind it, using those public funds, we had to make sure it met those requirements. And if not, do we have enough of our non-public funds that we could supplement it with?
Do you guys right now, each DMO is different. Do the tax revenues that are restricted, do they pay for team salaries right now, or do they not? Are you using private
They do,
dollars for
yeah.
that? Got it. So you got that consideration, right? How much of Jason or team members' time that is being paid for by taxpayers is appropriate, plus if there's actual hard costs or marketing, advertising costs. So how did you navigate that? Did you talk to legislatures or the county or the city that's funding you? How did you sort of navigate it? Does this qualify or not?
Just through our own internal experience with it, I mean, it's pretty clear. It's not murky, the language in the Florida statute. So if we are promoting and marketing the destination, then it's an allowable use. So the hard part was, how do we come up with a solution that everyone can jump in on that satisfies that marketing and
You're
promotion
full of
aspect?
puns today. Testing the
Yeah.
water, jump in on. I love it. Let's see if we can get more puns in there. Okay, so let's talk about the actual campaign. So how did this manifest?
Can I ask one or address one thing that Jason said? Because you said one thing that I want to kind of just set as a word of caution for those that are listening, and that's that Stuart asked the question, well, how did you decide how much funds to put towards this and get everybody on board? And your response was, well, when we're talking about saving lives, it's kind of whatever it takes, right? And the thing that I want to just make sure that I say here as we're thinking about budgets is the danger there is we're working off the assumption that the efforts we're going to make are actually going to change the volume of lives lost, right? And so I do think there is some sort of a breaking point where it's like, okay, we know that by engaging in these efforts, we've decreased loss of life by this much, and that's what ROI looks like to me, right? And so we're probably still going to have to make those kinds of cases of we believe that if we invest this much money, we can change the trajectory of. And by I'm not trying to catastrophize the situation. It's not like millions of people are dying in Kissimmee. That's not what I'm saying. But you still have to make the business case, right? That if we do this, we believe this will be the outcome, and then you're reporting against that outcome after the fact. And I just want to make sure everybody that's listening understands that, because if we just go off of, well, if we save lives, there's no limit to what we can spend, and in reality, we don't know if we're actually influencing whether or not we're saving lives. So And
that's just a clarification I want to make.
I didn't mean to like gloss over that response either, because I think when we get into the details of how the initiative is put together, you'll see that the investment is actually kind of minimal, because there are so many stakeholders that want to jump in and use kind of a combination of owned media and earned media to get this over the finish line. And
And it's a
so,
shared responsibility for sure.
correct,
That
yeah.
makes sense.
So it's more about using the resources that are already in play than it is about throwing money at the problem.
Yeah. Great. And
And
I'll push
again, it's
back
not
on
a
Adam a
problem,
little
it's
bit.
kind of throwing it at this prevention tactic.
I think, Adam, the risk in you sort of, I mean, you didn't say this, and I'm being a little hyperbolic, but it almost sounded like you were saying a KPI for success is how many people died in your, or didn't die in this case, in your community, right? That's not quite what you're saying, but it's sort of implied in there. And I'd caution people against that, right? Because then when there is an unfortunate incident, you run the risk of, which inevitably is going to happen, regardless of how much effort you put in. It's going to, and you can never really measure how many lives you actually saved. It's kind of like autonomous vehicles, right? We all know logically they're way safer than human drivers. But as soon as there's one Waymo accident, everyone freaks out and wants to put pause, even though the people that were lives were saved, we will never be able to count. But there were probably 20, 30, 50, 100 times as many people saved as just died. So I think you've got to sort of start with the premise that this is a positive thing, you know, regardless of, and it will influence the outcome regardless of the actual outcome. Because I've been in Model Beach for 26 years, you know, and unfortunately, every year people lose their lives in bodies of water, whether that's the ocean or pools or at home pools or natural bodies of water. And there's ebbs and flows to that, right? There's certain times and years where there's more and less. So I don't know that I would encourage people to measure that as a KPI.
Based on time, I don't really want to, like, I do have some pushback there, but I don't think it's worth going down that rabbit hole when Jason hasn't unveiled the campaign that they're developing. So
We're 40 minutes into the episode.
yeah, I want to get to Jason's campaign, and then if we have time later, maybe we can debate a little bit more about that.
Let's do it. And it'll actually the campaign, the initiative itself is very simple. So once I explain it, be like, oh, that's it. Cool. Anyone can do that. So that's kind of the idea. And the concept behind it, the overall framework actually came from one of the folks at our task force kickoff meeting. So we brought all these people in and we structured this meeting as kind of like a blue sky brainstorm session. We wanted as many ridiculous ideas out there as possible, knowing that something would stick, which is really not how a lot of these folks typically work in government. They're much more practical than that. So we kind of opened the curtain and said, this is how we work in the DMO and marketing world. Just throw some ideas out there. I'll start by saying, let's just rent a bunch of banner planes that fly over pools and say, hey, supervise your kids. And then we got good ideas after that. And that good idea was what we're settling on and launching next week. And that is, it's all centered on the most simple part of visitor behavior that we can influence, right? So they're the ABCs of pool safety. There's adult supervision. That's a thing that we can reinforce through messaging. There are pool barriers. That's not something that we can personally install, but we can reinforce the importance of making sure that they are still in place when people are at those rentals. And then the C, I think, typically deals with kind of like classes, like taking swim lessons. That's not something realistically that somebody's going to do on a vacation. So that one we're not going to necessarily touch. We're going to touch the two that we can influence in visitor behavior in the most simple and straightforward way possible, which is kind of like a fun PSA video. If we can get people to watch a video with an incentive after they complete it, to know that they finished it, then maybe we're going to get this message through. And that video is going to reinforce the importance of sober, intentional adult supervision. And so there's this program called the Water Watchers, if you guys aren't familiar with it, where there's a designated water watcher that would have like a lanyard or a wristband. And that is the visual cue for all of the kids or whoever's in the pool to know this is the person that's watching me that's responsible for supervising me. And that person has 15, 30-minute shift. Then they designate somebody to take the job after them. That person doesn't look at their phone. They don't consume alcohol. They don't do any of these things that can distract from their job, which is watching the pool to make sure everybody's safe and following whatever established rules there are. So that's reinforced in the video. Then we also talk about pool barriers. So we're fortunate in Osceola County that our vacation rentals are in a, they are in a typically in like designated resort style areas. They're purpose built for this. So you're going to find vacation rentals if they have a backyard pool. They've got window and door sensors that make super loud, annoying alarm sounds if they're not accessed properly. And so we are reinforcing that people should not tape those over or disable them or anything like that. They might be annoying, but that annoying alarm is there to help save lives so that you know if somebody's sneaking back in the pool when they shouldn't be. And that any of the pool barriers, those fences, they gotta be put back in place because a fence that's down or open isn't really a fence anymore. It's just a thing you gotta walk around, right? So that's really the essence of the video. Very short, very simple, reinforces those rules. And then at the end of the video, which will live on our landing page, the visitor can enter their email address and they get exclusive offers from area attractions and restaurants they wouldn't get anywhere else. These offers, we've worked with our partners, are only for this program.
That's a great
And
incentive.
so to
That's
get
great.
people to this landing page, we're not using advertising, because then we'd be advertising to people in our destination, and that's not our job. Our job is to spread, in this case, to spread the economic impact of the visitation. That's why we're soliciting those deals from our partners. But in order to kind of spread the word about this program, we're working with our vacation rental management partners to include campaign promotions in their pre-arrival messaging, text messages, emails to guests before they actually get to the destination. So here's all
That's
the
great.
information you need about, your arrival. By the way, to make sure you have positive memories that last a lifetime, check out this water safety video and get exclusive offers that you can't get anywhere else. And that's it.
Did you get
That's the initiative in a nutshell.
that's great. And congrats to you guys for pulling this off. It's awesome. Did you get any pushback from the hotels or the accommodation partners of pushing that out in pre-arrival messaging? And the reason I ask is we've had some conversations where we have done that with a lot of partners, but some partners came back and said, I don't want to put anything negative or anything that would detract people from wanting to come. And they could see that this kind of messaging could be disincentivizing a trip. So I don't know if you had that experience or not. It was a vocal minority, but we did have it.
No, fortunately, we haven't run into that yet. I mean, there's always, whenever you're talking about safety or like accessibility or anything where there are laws associated with it, potential liability, there's some hesitation from some partners. We're not requiring anyone to participate in
Yeah,
this.
you're
We're
creating the
creating
choice.
this program, this foundation for people to kind of build off of. And if they
Yeah,
want to participate in it and be part of the solution, that's our invitation.
it's great. I love that you're doing this. We started as last year, and I'll tell you how we started. It was sort of we talked about water safety, but we didn't really feel it was our role to take the lead on it. And maybe that was not right. I applaud you guys for taking the lead. But our local YMCA, one of the senior VPs was on our board. Her name's Hatton Gravely, and she came to me one day with an idea because water safety is one of the core pillars of the YMCA. And so she said, I really want to make a big splash about water safety, and it both for visitors but also for residents here. And so they took on a lot of the responsibility of they're actually doing free swim lessons for locals and a ton of stuff, but they wanted to really make a big splash. And so we brainstormed with our marketing team, and we did two things that I'm happy for you to steal and share with your team and do, because I think the more we're all every DMO is doing this, the better for everyone. But we wanted something iconic, and we did the same blue ocean kind of moonshot brainstorm. And Hatton actually came up with the idea of the world's largest rubber duck. We wanted something that was an affinity with water, and so what's more iconic than a rubber duck? And so there's actually a company you can rent the world's largest rubber duck. It's like 3 stories high. It's huge. And so we brought that for Water Safety Week into Myrtle Beach, and I'm telling you, people went bonkers for it. The media went bonkers. People were doing photo ops. Everyone that owns a Jeep within a 200-mile radius came and wanted to take a photo with the rubber duck in their Jeep. Like, it was one of the most viral things we've ever done locally. Like, it was crazy. And it wasn't that expensive. Unfortunately, we had some pretty strong wind the weekend it was here, and it got a tear in it. And so we had to shorten the length it was here, but people were mad that it wasn't here the whole weekend. Like, that's how much they loved it. So that was fun. And then the
That's
other
cool.
piece we did was we have a local content creator here who targets he's a child content creator. He's called Handyman Howe, He's, just a regular YouTube content creator, but he's doing kid-friendly content. So we had him come and work with the YMCA and do a whole video and push that out on his channel. And it got like hundreds of thousands of views, as well as doing the more serious ones as well. So I would say to anyone listening, definitely try to make a media, get the media attention, because our voice is only going to go a certain way. But having a hook like a world's largest rubber duck or something like that that gets the media to tell the story for you is important. And then having content creators join in the party as well. Those were
Yeah.
really effective for us.
That's great.
You're welcome to
Yeah,
steal
I
both
love it.
ideas.
I like
Yeah.
the
The
rubber
thing that I
duck.
like about that, Stuart, is you added kind of a layer of UGC to it, right? Like people are going to come and take pictures with the world's largest rubber duck and all this kind of stuff, and the word gets spread, right? And so I think that's a great addition to a water safety campaign because it's like you actually found a way to make it desirable for the visitor. You know, nobody wants to talk about water safety.
It became a fun thing, right? And we had like a splash area where you could come play with water around the dock, and we brought in local hospital to come and do, to talk to the parents while they're there. Like that, we didn't do it to the degree that you did, Jason, but we brought together a coalition of folks. I would definitely recommend you talk to your local YMCA to be a part of this and do the more of that training and local focus, because it is one of their pillars and they might have resources to help you out.
We have that we've talked to them. It was after the task force started, but we've looped them in. So yeah,
Yeah, that's great.
conversations are ongoing. This is just phase one. Our
Yeah.
hope is that it kind of expands, but that now that the task force has been created, another Department of Health or other entity will take it on and keep it going.
Yeah. And then if people want to see this campaign, you said there's a landing page and that will be up by the time this launches. Is there
Yeah,
somewhere they can go?
as soon as it's up, I'll get you guys the link. Maybe we can drop it in the
We'll put it
comments
in
or
show notes.
whatever.
Yeah. That'll be great. If anyone's interested in seeing Visit Myrtle Beaches, I think it's visitmyrtlebeach.com/splashsafe is what we called that campaign. So you'll see some of our videos and some of the photos there. But I love this, Jason. I think we need to be doing more of this sort of destination experience stewardship. I think public safety is certainly part of that. I think DMOs should probably be working hand in hand with their police department, fire department, rescue squads, and any first responders to make sure that everyone that comes here is having a positive experience and we're mitigating the potential for negative experiences. I think that's part of our mandate.
Well,
And
if
I mean,
there's so
oh, go
much
ahead,
else
Jason.
we can do. Like the Osceola Chamber has just a ton of coalitions of businesses centered around either geographic areas or certain topics, and one of them is the Tourism Safety Coalition. So we've got all sorts of attractions and hotels that sit on this, but they've got the sheriff's office that comes in, and we go and we attend and we share insights and all that too. So there's this open exchange of information, and it could be as simple as that, just being aware as an organization of what's going on and lending insights so that partners or members can help communicate safe behaviors like keeping valuables out of your vehicle and all that. So yeah, I think there's a ton we can do.
And I think that's an important point, right? Which is sometimes we don't have to be the leader, or we don't have to take the burden on, right? And this is what you've done with the border safety and some of that other stuff is but what we should be doing is, as stewards, we should be looking at the community saying, where are the gaps? Like it does if a say a visitor safety committee doesn't exist, then maybe we're the ones that create the table for people to come join, right? We're the convener in that case. But I think we can get a lot more done the more we bring people to the different tables throughout the community, and the more we actually take a back seat, but ensure that it doesn't piddle out, right? That it doesn't just sort of stall out and stop getting done. And the other piece that I think we have to do. Committees have a tendency to just become social groups, right, over time and lose purpose. And they sort of meet and share, but there's no action. And so I think our other role, what DMOs do really well, is how do we define North Star? How do we define objectives? How do we ensure that we're working towards accomplishing actual goals? So I think that's sometimes our role too, is to sort of steer the committees and convene, but not necessarily lead and not necessarily own those committees. Just make sure they exist.
Yeah, I think my contribution here is like I'm not as in the weeds, obviously, with the different departments and things like that as you guys are and having to solve some of these problems. But if there's anybody questioning whether or not the DMO should be involved in public safety or public safety messaging, it goes back to what I said at the beginning. If my hypothesis that your job is to build trust once you get the attention, this absolute, if somebody doesn't believe they're going to be safe in your destination, you do not have their trust and you're very unlikely to get the visit. And so I think whether it comes to crime, whether it comes to public safety in the form of water safety, like you mentioned, it's critical that the destination be in that conversation and leverage their influence to build trust in some way, shape, or form. Sounds like both of you have done a great job with that. And I think every destination definitely needs to be considering that.
Great. Jason, man, this is good. This is such a different topic for this platform, but I love the diversity of topics that we're trying to get on this show. So, are there any sort of final thoughts or words of advice that you have for folks that maybe were inspired by this today and are thinking about doing some kind of water safety initiative?
I don't know if I have any words of wisdom, but I think the thing that seems to work well for me is when there is some kind of challenge or something that seems outside of the realm of possibility to just start talking to people about it, because chances are it's on their mind also, just like this water safety. I had no idea how many different organizations this was top of mind for them. And how willing and eager they were to participate. They just didn't know where to go or where to start. And so creating that opportunity for them, even if we didn't wind up being kind of the champions behind an initiative, maybe somebody else could have just by having that opportunity to connect.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think one of the cheat codes for life that I've discovered along the way, and I use it often, is if you think something should exist but doesn't, just start talking about it is the best way to get it to come into existence. Like
Absolutely,
it
yeah.
just you can whisper things into existence. Like,
Yeah.
but if you don't talk about it, it's not going to happen. So just
That's
start
true.
making fetch happen, whatever it is. You can just start talking, and then
Make fetch
my
happen, you
favorite thing in
said.
the world is when you plant a seed with someone, an idea, and say, hey, it would be cool if this was the thing, or we
Yep.
should do this. And then like weeks later, someone comes back to you and pitches you that idea because it's gone through that sort of telephone and other people have heard it, and you're like, there's a phenomenal idea. Let's do that. That sounds
Why didn't
cool.
I
It's
think of
also a
that?
great way for Stuart to take credit for a lot of the ideas that happen in and around his place.
That's funny. I actually like to not take credit. Like I believe that when we try to take credit is when competition happens and when things stall out. I think we all get a lot more done. Like I might secretly inside say that was my idea, but I don't necessarily care or want other folks to know that, because
Yeah.
the more other people are taking the credit, the more likely they're going to stay engaged. You know, a DMO should be the most humble, non-ego driven organization in the community. We can all do that. If we can get out of taking the game of taking credit, we'll get a lot more done,
Yep.
I believe.
And it goes back to
Adam,
the
any final
trust
thoughts
thing
for
I think
you?
that Adam was talking about, right? People can
Yes, it
trust their ideas
100%.
with us, stuff will get done. We won't try to steal the credit.
That's right.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to take a victory lap there, but I think you're right, Jason.
See, you're giving Jason credit for your stuff. You just did it. Perfect example
go.
right there. Adam, any final thoughts from you before we sign off?
No, this was great, Jason. I love that you're getting involved in that. I think it's a great kind of reminder for everybody that like destination promotion, just like in and of itself, is not just a standalone, right? Like there's so much more to do than just that. And I think public safety is a great example of how destinations can get involved, especially with the campaign that you outlined today.
Yeah, thanks. I mean, I'm thinking of something else we started talking about where I always learned that marketing is a management function. So it doesn't matter if you call yourself a DMO, DMMO, DO, whatever. Like if you're doing marketing right, you are taking an active role in management. And so this is just one example of something a DMO could do. But I appreciate the time that you guys gave to me to talk about it, and hopefully Like I said before, hopefully some other destination takes this and turns it into something even greater.
Yeah,
Love
for
it.
sure. Yeah. Love it, Jason. And you're welcome back anytime. Would love to have you come back and talk about strategic planning and things like that. I think that
Let's
would be
do it.
helpful for a lot of DMOs. Well, Jason, if they want to find you, learn more about this campaign or Jason's many masks, where can they do that?
You can send me an email, jholic@experiencekissimmee.com. That's jholic@experiencekissimmee.com. I'm not going to spell that one, though.
Adam, what about you, sir?
Adam@thebrandrevolt.com. You can find me on LinkedIn or, of course, on Tourism IQ.
And maybe one day they can come to regard you as someone they met as well. That they can
That's my
dream.
hope. That's my
Yeah.
hope. I'm dreaming big, but that is my dream.
Cool. Well, you can reach me at stuart.butler@visitmyrtlebeach.com or on LinkedIn. And then please, like Nate did, like our reviewer did, please leave reviews and comments. We read the reviews in Apple Podcasts. Seems like, Adam, most of the people listening are listening on Apple Podcasts. Then we have a handful too, and I think some of our biggest desties are in Spotify, and they like to
Yeah.
leave comments on individual episodes as well. So we're monitoring both of those. And so if you drop a line in there, we'll read it out or have a discussion on the show. And thank you for listening, Desties. You're our favorites of all our audiences for all the shows that Adam and I do. You're our favorites, right, Adam?
100%.
All right. Until next time, this has been Destination Discourse.
Thanks, everybody. You built
There's our
half the
ending.
show around a recycled
I'm running out of material. What can I say?
joke. Oh, that's funny.